Turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter number 4, and it's from this passage of God's word that I wish to preach tonight. Genesis chapter 4, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing upon the preaching of his truth. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of gathering together and reading the living word of the living God. Lord, we'll be reading solemn words. And we pray, Lord, that the light of understanding will be shined upon this book tonight. We pray, O Lord, thy spirit will give help in the preaching and the hearing of the word. We pray specially, Lord, for those who are not saved. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt show people how they stand before God tonight. Do not allow the sinner to be content in their sin. Do not allow the one who has a heartbeat from hell tonight to be content to go on down that road. O Lord, we pray you'll awaken the sinner out of the deadness of their sin tonight. We ask thee, Lord, that they will see the beautiful Savior, the one who died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Lord, we pray tonight the tears of repentance will flow. We pray tonight sinners will bow the knee at the foot of the cross. We pray tonight that the rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over lost souls coming to Christ. To this end, Lord, we leave the meeting in thy hands. I pray you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. Give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. We pray that God will be glorified in this meeting. We pray for signs to follow the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. We've read a portion tonight of God's word that is in the area of one of the most attacked parts of Scripture. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. It's under a great attack by many. A man and his sin does not want to face up to the opening chapters of Scripture, because in his opinion, if they are true, then that means there is a creator God that has made him, and before whom one day he will have to stand to give an account. Friend, this word is true. This is God's word. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every line, every word is God-given, God-inspired, and God-exalting. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And to some degree, you'll find that unsaved people are happy to read or hear about the personalities, the people in the Word of God, the history contained within it, maybe even some of the proverbs they will quote to you, even about the life of the man, Christ Jesus. But man does not desire to hear in his natural state about a holy God, about judgment, about hell, about separation, or about sin. I've come across that this week already in my ministry. People do not want to hear what the Bible says. It was literally said to me this week, well, just let's lay aside the Bible for a moment. Well, we can't do that because the Bible is the foundation, the only foundation that we have. It's a foundation of truth. It is a stable foundation. And a church that is founded upon the Word of God and is preaching the Word of God is a stable church. A Christian who lives by the Word of God and is in the Word of God is a stable Christian. You take away the Word of God and then there's instability. Man goes his own way and puts his own opinion above God's decree. Friend, this is the Word of God tonight. And for you to ignore it is to refuse the truth of the gospel. For you to reject it is to abandon all hope of salvation. For you to harden your heart against this book is to know the wrath of God against your soul on the day of judgment. And from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it is truth. And it must be accepted in its entirety or it is rejected by you. I wonder in this meeting, what have you done with the Word of God? Perhaps you've been comforted at times, for example, the time of death by Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's brought some comfort to you. But do you realize that such words of comfort and blessing are only for God's people? Those who are in the flock of God, those who are right with God. Perhaps you've learned verses at Sunday school or children's meeting and you memorized them. And while you memorized them, you never believed them. You rejected their truths and you rejected their warnings. I would dare say there are people tonight and in your home there's a verse of scripture hanging on your wall. Maybe it's a prize from something like that. And you walk past it, it decorates the room, but it's never changed your heart. I trust this evening as we come to God's Word, I trust and pray that the Word will penetrate into your heart. See, the Lord asked the question in scripture, where art thou? Where art thou? Are you in Christ tonight, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, rejoicing in your freedom in Christ? Are you still in your sin the way that you were born? Well, I want you to notice some things from this passage with me because both types of people are representing this passage tonight. Those who approach God, God's way, and those who try to approach God their own way. And I tell you, there's only one way to God, and that's God's way. That's through Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, with me, the birth and the occupation here of Cain and Abel. It says in verse number 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, what's interesting here, we have the birth of the first children into the world, and their birth was exactly the same as yours and mine, certainly in regard to the nature in which they were born. You know, like any proud parent, Adam and Eve would have held the children in their arms, little baby in their arm, and pride and love and an overflow of emotion would have come into the heart as they looked upon the face of this gift that Eve did acknowledge was indeed a gift from the Lord. God had been good. God had blessed his creation with offspring. But you know, as they looked into the faces of these little ones, they had to acknowledge something before the Lord, that they were born with the same nature as the parents. They were born in sin. Adam and Eve fell in sin in the Garden of Eden. It's detailed for us in chapter 3. And therefore, they were born in sin. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Cain and then Abel, born with desires that were contrary to God, hearts that were filled with pride, with chains of bondage that fastened tightly around the will. They were under sin's nature and they were under sin's control. And that's exactly the same as each one of us. That's the way we're born into this world. We're born as sinners. We're shaping in iniquity. It didn't take long, I believe, for that to manifest itself in the life of these children. Now, if you've raised children or you're around children for any length of time, you will know how sin manifests itself in a child. I remember some years ago reading an observation that struck me as I was studying some parts of the book of Genesis, and it said, Cain, the first child ever born, was born into a world with no public houses, no street gangs, no evil literature, no bad companions, but he turned out to be a murderer. Why? Because he was born with a sinful nature. He did not have to be taught to sin. You do not have to teach the little baby how to have a temper, how to be angry, how to grab. You don't have to teach a teenager how to slam a door or to give back cheek. You know why? It's natural. It's, we know exactly how to do it. Nobody teaches us how to sin. We know how to sin. We're born as sinners. We can blame society. And many people blame society and say, well, sin is paraded publicly without shame. And these young people are influenced by it. And yes, there is influence of sin, but the nature problem is a problem of the heart. It's the heart of man. In fact, you can give a child every advantage, education, and good influences around it, but it doesn't change the heart. I wonder, have you ever realized at some point in your life that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy God? David acknowledge in Psalm 51, verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. And listen to these words. He's speaking to the Lord. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, can I just say here that David's sin did affect other people? And he did sin against other people. But ultimately, and most importantly, his sin was against God. Born as sinners into this world. And friend, that's the reality for all in this meeting tonight. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to have peace with God, then you have to acknowledge this truth that I am a sinner, me. The one who sees faults in everyone around me. The one who sees sin and is angry when we see things of gross indecency on television. I, before God, am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. All that I do is against God. All that I do in my sin is abhorrent to God and will be punished by God. You see, there are people today, and they set certain standards for themselves. And they say, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not an abuser. And therefore, I'm better than those people. And how could God look at me and judge me in the same light as these people? Surely I'm better than others. Surely I'm more pleasing to God. The Word of God reminds us that we're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's a picture of sin penetrating every part of our being. Friend, you might be an openly gross sinner. You might be a very private sinner. You might be a righteous, religious sinner. But I tell you this, if you've never been saved by the grace of God and the sight of God, you're a sinner bound for hell and bound for the judgment of God. Now, it's interesting here in verse number 1 that Eve says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we discover that when Eve is speaking about the Lord in Genesis chapter 3, the word is Elohim, the great God or the supreme one. But now in her joy, she actually uses the term Jehovah, capital letters there, L-O-R-D. And in this word Jehovah, she recognizes, one Bible commentator says, that God has been true to his promise. God has not forgotten me. He is with me now again. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will give me the victory. And can I just say, although they appear to have been born into a Christian home, or certainly a home that knew the truth about God, whether you're born into a Christian home or whether you're born into a home that's unsaved, all by their birth are sinners. Just one very brief thing to note before we look at their approach to God. Notice that they had occupations. This goes against everything that evolution teaches. This goes against the nonsense and the fantasy that has been drawn up to keep people's minds at ease in their wickedness and their sin. They grew up as the first children of the first man and woman, and God showed them and gave them a natural order to follow. And this natural order was that they were to work. They were to work to earn their keep. Now, they were engaged in different occupations. One was a shepherd, one was a tiller of the ground. Now, what we see here is rational men with rational, proper understanding of how to conduct themselves, how to work ground, how to produce from the earth to keep a family. Here we see intelligent, created man. Now, you read some of the books that are put into schools today and you watch some of the things on television, they'll tell you man went about in the olden days grunting at each other, not knowing what to do before communication developed. Here we see God creating man. And the thought today in society in many ways is we're more clever than we ever have been. We're smarter than we ever have been and we'll only get better. I believe that if you want to see the peak of man's intelligence, you need to go to the book of Genesis, before the fall. And you see a man that God created who had the mental capacity to name all the animals in the world. You see people who were rational beings and had great ability. And I truly believe that in made in the image of God, with the ability given from God in Genesis, we see man at the peak of his intelligence. So we have two different men mentioned here. We have Cain and we have Abel. And I should also say, the application for that little point is, I believe the Lord expects us to work to earn our keep. If you have the ability to work and earn for your family and for yourself, friend, you should be doing it. There are people today, and they're lazy and bone idle. And sad to say, sometimes it can be Christians. And taking money off government whenever they're well able to go out and work for themselves. It's God's order that we go out and we earn and work for what we have. Then we have Cain and Abel approaching the Lord. Now, why they approached the Lord, we do not know. Some Bible commentators believe maybe they now had families. And as Adam and Eve, perhaps had offered sacrifices to the Lord in their home. Now the children are doing the same thing. Well, whatever reason they approached the Lord, we know this, that there was a clear call from God to approach him. And so they came. And in verse 3 it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought from the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now from the outset, man standing and beholding this would maybe think that both had been obedient. They brought to the Lord the best that they had in their hands. But friend, never forget this truth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. They came in two very different ways. And we've all come to this gospel meeting tonight, and in a way you've come and you've approached to the things of God. You're listening to the word of God. Others see you in this meeting. You see they have respect in the singing and the prayer. You're giving on to the Lord. You're listening. You're dressed appropriately for the house of God. You look like a Christian. You appear to be saved. But remember, man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So what did the Lord see when he looked upon the heart and the actions of the two men? Well, the first thing I want you to notice is this, that God accepted Abel's offering. God accepted Abel's offering. And it says there at the end of verse number 4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did the Lord have respect unto Abel's offering? Why was it accepted? Well, the answer is given in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. And it says there, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And the Bible makes very clear here in Hebrews, in this commentary on Genesis 4, it says, by faith. Abel approached God by faith. What was his faith in? Well, he's called here one who was righteous. And therefore, we know what his faith was in. His faith was in God's provision for his salvation. He looked away from himself to another. He made a sacrifice. And as the blood of that sacrifice flowed down the altar that day, he was looking beyond the sacrifice. He was looking to what it represented, that the Lord would send one who would be the sacrifice for his sin. He was looking forward to the cross. He was depending on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself, how were Abel and Noah and David and Solomon, Esther, Deborah, Joshua, Moses saved? Christ hadn't been on the earth yet. Well, they were saved by looking forward to the Lamb of God that taketh away or beareth away the sins of the world. They were saved by looking forward. Now, we are saved today by looking back, but we're saved by the same thing. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in Isaiah 53, Isaiah is able to say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen to this tonight. This is the Savior of sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Abel confessed his sin. Because in looking to God in faith, he realized he was a sinner. Therefore, he was trusting that his sin would be dealt with. He turned from that which would take him to hell, and he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way men are saved. In other words, he obeyed the word of God. We don't know how Abel heard about the plan of salvation. Did his parents tell him when he was growing up? Maybe the Lord gave a direct revelation from himself. We do not know. It's not recorded in the word. But we know this. He heard about the Lord Jesus. He heard about salvation. He heard about a provision. He heard about a sacrifice that would take away sin. How do I know? Because the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And there are many people today, and they want to see their family, and they want to see their friends saved. And they do anything and everything but get them under the sound of the word of God. You do not entertain people into heaven. You do not entertain people into salvation. If you want to see someone saved, you bring them the word of God, or you bring them to the preaching of the word of God. And what does the word of God say about the matter of the salvation of the sinner? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say to me tonight, I'm a sinner, can I be saved? Preacher, you don't know where I've been. What I've been, who I've been. Friend, I don't need to know. The Lord knows where you've been tonight. The Lord knows every moment from your first breath till this moment. Every thought, every word, every deed of sin is recorded. The Bible tells us a pen of iron, point of a diamond. It's recorded indelibly. And the only thing that can erase that record of your sin that God will judge you by when the books are open on the day of judgment is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse in the hymn in our hymn book. It says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. We read the word of God and we see people who are in gross immorality saved and transformed by the grace of God. We see people who are murderers saved and transformed by the grace of God. We see people who are low in sin, filthy in sin, abhorrent in sin, but the Lord stepped in and the Lord changed them. And praise the Lord, I can preach to all tonight that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you don't need to be found in hell in eternity. You don't need to face the judgment of God as a sinner. But thank God tonight, there's salvation for you. There's blood that will be applied to your heart tonight. In the very person of Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Don't compare yourself with others. We're all sinners. And praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin under the blood. Nothing to fear when we're saved. Thank God it's all dealt with by the grace of God. And while we rejoice that Abel was accepted by God, and he is in heaven today, let's not forget that God rejected Cain's offering. You see, we come to verse number 3, and it says, in the process of time it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Why did God not accept Cain's offering? Oh, he went out, he labored with the sweat of his brow to get the fruit of the ground, the produce of the ground, to bring it to the altar. Why did the Lord not have respect? Why did the Lord not accept it? Friend, listen to me. The Lord did not accept Cain or his offering because it wasn't God's way. It wasn't God's way. And there are men and women and boys and girls tonight, and they're trying to approach God some other way. And friend, they're sincere tonight. And they're trying their best to please God. They're trying to be religious. They're trying to live a good life. And let me tell you, it's not God's way. It's not God's way. And if that's your way to make it to heaven, I can assure you tonight, you will be in hell unless you come his way. You see, it's interesting to note that he brought of the things of the ground. And what's interesting about the ground? It was cursed by God. He brought something that was cursed. This wasn't a pure offering. This wasn't something that represented the Savior of the world, the pure and spotless Lamb of God. This was out of the ground, which the Lord said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And to offer anything to the Lord other than the work of Christ for your salvation, it will not suffice. It's to say, the work of Christ means nothing to me. I'll come another way. It's not enough. What an insult to God. Oh, friend, what an insult that you feel God hasn't done enough. God doesn't need man's work. God doesn't want man's work. Thank God the work of salvation is complete. All man needs to do is to humble himself and come. Come and receive of the salvation that has been purchased upon the cross of Calvary. I want you to notice something. Although Cain and his offering was rejected, notice here in verse number seven, the Lord showed mercy to Cain. Now, when the Lord said that that offering was rejected, Cain was angry. Is that interesting? There's nothing new under the sun. You tell people, church-going people, that God does not accept them any other way than through the blood of Christ. And you know what? Some of them will get angry. There's even ministers that I have talked to, and they've been angry with me. Because I said, you know, I believe salvation is only through Christ. But oh, the mercy of the Lord. Look what he says in verse number 7. He said, Lord, he said, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, if you do the right thing, you'll know my blessing. Cain, if you come the right way, you're welcome. Friend, the Lord says to the sinner tonight, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Oh, friend, if you trust in Christ, you will be saved. If you turn from your sin, you'll be saved. If you take the opportunity tonight and put your faith in Christ, you will be saved, holding to the promises of God. Friend, if you claim a refuge in the work of Christ for sinners tonight, you'll be saved. If you do well, if you do the right thing, if you come God's way, then you'll be accepted. I was 7 years old when I came to Christ. I had been through Sunday school, children's meeting in church. I'd heard about salvation. I'd heard about sinners. I'd heard about the Lord. But I tell you, it didn't all just come together for me until the age of 7. I was in the Mid-Ulster Hospital in Muckrafeld. I was going through an operation. I was lying in the children's ward. About 10 o'clock at night, the lights were out. We're supposed to be sleeping, but I couldn't sleep. I believe there had been a death in the hospital, and I had heard about it, overheard somebody speaking about it. I was only 7 years old. You would say, well, that's not a big age, or that wasn't a gross sinner or a very outward wicked person. But I tell you, I was a sinner before God. And that night I thought to myself, if I die, where am I going to be? I was 7 years old, and I wasn't afraid of dying. I was afraid of what happened after I died. And I knew as a 7 year old that night, on my own in that hospital bed, I was for hell. I wasn't right for heaven. I wasn't ready for heaven. And I thank God for faithful Sunday school teachers. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you keep teaching. You might not have the privilege of personally leading that child to Christ, but you could plant the seed and give the word that will bring them forth to salvation. Because there was no one there around my bed that night, but I'd been taught well. And I prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin and take me to heaven to be with you when I die. Simple childlike prayer. You know what happened that night? The Lord accepted me. The Lord received me. Not because of anything in me, but I claimed Christ as my Savior. Friend, that's what salvation is. Taking Christ at his word. Asking him to be your Savior. Oh, there weren't big words. I didn't know much theology at that age, but I knew I was a sinner and I knew he was a great Savior. And I've been saved from the age of 7. And can I say, when the Lord calls me from this scene of time and my life is over, I will be in heaven. Not because I went to Bible college, not because I tried to preach, not because of any way I tried to live, but because one night at the age of 7, I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. Friend, I have assurance tonight because my God receives those who come by faith in Christ. Sinner, you burdened tonight with the shame and the guilt of a life lived in sin. If you do well tonight, you'll be accepted. If you come to Christ, thank God there's a pardon for you. And then the Lord gives a warning to Cain there in verse number 7. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If thou doest not well, if you go on the way you're going, then you'll have to face up to sin. And I'll tell you something, there's only a step between time and eternity. Friend, when you pass through that door, what's the first thing that will confront you in eternity? Your sin. When you go into eternity, the first thing you'll find is your sin, bringing you into hell, calling you to account, calling you to judgment before a mighty and a holy God. Friend, tonight you may think your sin is covered, but there's only one covering of sin that God accepts, and that's the blood, Jesus Christ. Sins you've long forgotten about, words you've said in jest, things you've thought and couldn't even remember today. Oh yes, and a million more will meet you when you die. And Cain shows us the depths to which sin will take the sinner, because instead of turning to Christ, instead of obeying God, he turned away, went into the field, and in an argument with his brother, he slew his brother. He murdered his brother. Oh, the wickedness of the heart of a sinful man. Praise the Lord. The Lord hasn't allowed us to go that far. But you remember this sinner in this meeting. Whether it be murder, theft, pride, lies, hypocrisy, envy, whatever marks your life, all is against God. All will be punished, and hell will be filled with all who die in sin. The respectable sinner, the wicked sinner. Friend, that's the eternity you're facing if you're facing it without the Lord. And you might have thought that's as far as Cain could go. That's as far as a person could go in this life, in the downward spiral, murdering his own brother. But friend, listen, he went further. Because in verse number 16, we read these solemn words. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went further. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Friend, this is a solemn statement. And I believe what's being taught here is this. He turned his back on God. There was no further opportunity for Cain. He made the decision that sealed his eternity. There's no more pleading with his soul. There's no more welcome. There's no more opportunity. He made his final decision for the Lord. I was going from his presence. I believe it's an eternal statement. Friend, I believe it's a damning statement. And I say to you, we are in the presence of God tonight in this meeting. And perhaps you felt uncomfortable, and perhaps you felt the finger of God upon your soul. Perhaps you felt as if the preacher has been preaching at you. And you know tonight you're a sinner, and you know tonight you need the salvation that only the Lord offers. Well, I beg you, don't walk out of the presence of God tonight. Friend, don't walk out of the presence of God saying no God, rejecting God. God might take you at your word. Friend, what if this is the last offer of mercy for your soul? What if June 2018 was the last time you heard you could be saved? What if tonight is recorded in eternity as the night you said your final no to the Lord? You see, sin lies at your door and you need to get it dealt with tonight. I always remember a story Dr. Paisley telling about a mission he took one night. And there's a woman broken for several nights in that mission. And he went down to speak to her. And he said, I'm going to see you tomorrow when you're home. And he went to see her in the home. And she said, you know, I have been troubled by the Lord. And he asked her to come to Christ. He pleaded with her to come to Christ. She said, no. He went to the mission that night to preach. And he preached in the mission. The woman was sitting in the mission. But this night was different from the previous nights because the tears weren't in her cheeks anymore. She seemed all concerned about her soul. He spoke to her at the door. He said, what's happened? And she said, I went home last night and I got down by my bedside. And I prayed that the Lord would never again bother me with salvation. That the Lord would never speak to me or make me feel conviction over my sin again. And the Lord answered her prayer. And I beg you tonight, if you're not saved, to heed the words that I'm going to quote to you tonight from Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, there were two people approached God. And one left forgiven. The other left in sin. There's many people, and you come into this place of worship tonight, you've approached God. Friend, I wonder, will you leave forgiven? Saved, trusting, depending on the blood? Or will you leave as a sinner? Let's pray. Lord, we pray you'll take of thy word tonight. You'll write it upon hearts. And as we sing our closing hymn, the end of our final word of prayer, Lord, we ask for the Spirit to work in a mighty way. O Lord, visit us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing 604, just a couple of verses, please. Hymn 604, unsaved man, woman, unsaved boy or girl, we're singing this for you as a people of God. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, 604, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Some of you are out of Christ. You're held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. Friend, we want you over there. That's why we're here preaching tonight. That's why God's people have been praying in the little room at the side tonight. We want you there. We don't want you in hell. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed, they make myself available to you. I'm going to the door a few moments to shake hands on the way out. But if the Lord has spoken to your soul and you would like to get saved, and you would like me to show you from God's word how you can be saved, how you can be sure of heaven and home, then come and let that need be made known. We'll go somewhere privately. We'll open the word of God and we'll show you God's way of salvation. Maybe you're a backslider tonight and you realize that your life is not pleasing to the Lord. Well then, friend, come back to the Lord. God's people pray. Unsaved, please don't leave this meeting tonight. Come to the Saviour. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we've been, Lord, discussing solemn things tonight. We've read about a man who's walked out of the presence of the Lord. Tonight, condemned in hell. And I pray, Lord, tonight that the people of this church will be wise and they will consider their latter end. Oh, Lord, sin is not worth eternity in hell. Lord, there's no way to heaven but through Christ. There's no pardon or peace with God without the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, tonight I pray that sinners will close in with God's offer of mercy. If thou doest well, I shall be accepted. Oh, Lord, please cause the sinner to come. Whatever would be hindering, you pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, you'll break it down. Whatever lies he'd be listening to from hell that would hold him back, O Lord, we pray you'll defeat them in Jesus' name. This is decision time. O Lord, may men and women, boys and girls, come through for Christ. We pray these things. Lord, what has been of thee, let it live on and prosper in the hearts of this congregation. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. May God be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.